From burden to blessing, we began that last week, so would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and as you're doing that, let me greet all of our campuses that are joining with us today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and we're glad you're with us on this last Sunday of the month. We're glad to be able to come to you live today right where you're at, and we believe that God has a word for you. We want to especially welcome our Illinois Craneville campus today. Thank you for being with us on this day as we go together into the Word of God. The book of Malachi is where we began last week, and so let's just go back to that, if you would. Malachi, the third chapter. Now, let me say this before I begin today, okay? Because everybody knows I'm going to talk about money. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to lower all of your barriers, okay? Put your phasers to stun, not to kill today, all right? Get everything kind of down, and just let's see what the Word of God says to us. The book of Malachi, the third chapter, read a couple of verses, verse 10 and 11. Here's what it says. Bring the whole tithe, that word tithe is 10%, bring the whole 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me in this. We talked about this last week. It is the only place in Scripture where God ever says to try him or to test him, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it, to keep it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Now, last week I talked to you about why Christians don't tithe, and we gave different reasons last week. We listed several things, and if you weren't here, you can get a CD of it, or you can download it, or you can go to, you know, iTunes or whatever, you can get it there. So I'm not going to re-preach that this morning. Today what I'm going to talk about, here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about why I tithe. Why do Sherry and I tithe? This is probably going to be the most autobiographical sermon that I've ever done. I've never preached a sermon like this before. But in preparation for these couple of weeks together, talking to us about our finances, I begin to say, you know, why is it that Sherry and I do this? Now, a lot of people say, well, you tithe because you're the preacher. Well, I tithe before I was the preacher. Well, you tithe because, you know, you have a good income. Well, we tithe when I was in college, and Sherry had already graduated, and she was putting me through college. Thank Jesus, God, hallelujah, amen, right? And she worked at A&P Groceries, checking groceries, so you can imagine how much money she was making, right? And I worked at Roses. If you don't know what Roses is a southern thing that's about three or four levels worse than Walmart. So that'll, all right? So needless to say, we weren't bringing in a whole lot of money, but we made a decision when we married that we were going to do what the Word of God says. And we've done that, and through the years, I've seen what God can do when you've been obedient to him and you've done those things to do that. So today, I'm going to be real. Again, I'm going to talk about me more than I ever do in a sermon, but there's a purpose for it and a reason for it. Number one reason that I tithe, that Sherry and I tithe, is because God gave his best. Listen, what can I do to even come close to what God has done for me? The Word of God says that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into this world that whoever believes in him would not perish or shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's what God has done on my behalf. So God gave his very best. Why would I hold back that which is mine, which I feel like I've worked hard for? You know, Pastor, you got to understand, I worked 40, I worked 50, some of us 60 or 70 hours this past week, and I worked hard to get this money. I got it. I understand. But let me explain something to us today. God has done more than you'll ever understand. God has given more than we will ever give. And so the reason that we need to be givers is because of what God has done. Listen, let me ask this question to you. How many of you this morning that would say money is important to you, would you hold your hand up? Now, come on, hold it there for a minute. Would you look around and see people whose hands are not up? And after church, go to them and say, would you just empty your bank account? Because you just said in church it wasn't important to you. So I'll just take all your blessing into my life, right? All of a sudden, it just got real important to everybody, didn't it? See, we understand that money is important. That money, here's the deal about money. When you work all week long, you work 40 hours or so, and you make, let's say you make $800, let's say you make $20,000. It doesn't matter. That represents a part of your life that you have now sold a part of your life to get this amount of income. So every dime of that you spend, you are spending some of your life. You are giving away a portion of your 24 hours of that day. When you spend that money, you're, and boy, we are just really, really liberal with our lives, aren't we? I mean, we buy stuff, we throw money around, we don't even think about it because we don't understand sometimes how precious finances really are in our world, and it really is important. And so if it's that important to me, then I need to understand that God has already given so much more than I can ever give. And so that's the number one reason. Number two is this, is because I love God. The second reason that we tithe is because we love God. And you say, well, everybody loves God. Well, I saw a bumper sticker the other day said, if you love Jesus, tithe. Anybody can honk. Right? I mean, anybody can honk, anybody. That's no commitment, is it? Bam, we're done. But if we really love, you say, well, I don't believe it matters if I tithe. Well, let me read the scripture to you. The book of 1 John says this. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is the love for God. Not that you honked your horn. This is the love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. The King James Version says they are not grievous to us. The Word of God says to us, if we really love God, then we're going to do what the Word of God says. We're going to be obedient to God, and we're going to say, Lord, your Word says that I'm to tithe, that I'm to bring the offering into the storehouse, and Lord, because your Word tells me to do that, I'm not just going to say, oh Lord, I love you. Right? Come on, I'm going to get in your business today if you didn't know it. All right? The worship team is leading us, and, oh, Lord, I love you. I worship you. You're so wonderful. You're so glorious. Offering time. Shikamo shine. Pass me on by. You know, it's... Come on. Giving is worship. Giving is part of what God has called us to do. And God has done so much for us. Why wouldn't we sow back in his kingdom? The third reason that we tithe is because I want others to know Jesus. I want other people. If I were to ask you today, how many of you want other people to know the Lord? Everybody would raise their hand because we believe it's important. We believe that people ought to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We read the scripture that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when we read that, we go, yes, we agree with that. We believe that. But sometimes our actions say otherwise. Now, let me tell you what Romans 10 says. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 14 and 15 says this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And then it goes on to say, and how can anybody preach unless they are sent? See, when we will stop there. When we understand today that the Word of God tells us that when we give, we're sending the gospel around the world. Let me tell you this about Love and Truth churches. Every campus does this. We all do this. When you tithe to this local house, here's what we do. We immediately, we count the money, and then we immediately take 10% off the tithe. Off your tithe, we take a tithe, and we send it to missions. We don't keep it here. We don't use it for building expense. We don't use it for salaries. We take that money, and we say, God has blessed us, and now we want to be a blessing around the world. We want to help with church planting in America. We're going to do all of these things, and every campus does it. So here's what that means. When you bring your tithes, and you give those, you may never leave your neighborhood, but you are sending the gospel of Jesus Christ literally all around the world because you have been obedient in what the Word of God says. So now you are a partaker in the gospel being preached, not just in Jackson, not just in Savannah or Adamsville or wherever, but you are being a participant, one who has come together, and now you are making a difference throughout the world because of your giving. And I don't know about you, but I like that. Right? Here's this, and I'll move on. But in your life, in your world, you're going to find that you're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be people there that are saved because you gave. And there's nothing any greater than knowing that. Number four is this, is because I believe that tithing is a covenant. I don't believe tithing is legalism. I don't believe. I showed you last week. Tithing was before the law. Tithing was during the law. Jesus commended tithing. The book of Hebrews talks about tithing. We did all that last week. But here's what I know. I believe that there is a covenant that you and I come into with God when we tithe. In fact, he said, prove me in this. That's covenant language. When you come into relationship with Jesus Christ with your tithe, the Bible says, here on earth they're received by man, but there they're received unto God. In other words, you give, but in the heavenly bank account, there is something that is transferred to your account. Now, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I have found out through Scripture, when you read Scripture, you find that the Bible is about covenant keeping. Right? I mean, there are at least seven major covenants that God made with man throughout the Scripture. And what I know about God is that whatever man does, God always blesses abundantly. Right? God enters into covenant with Abraham, and the Word of God begins to tell us that Abraham was blessed. In fact, the New Testament says that Abraham was blessed in all things. You know, I looked that word all up, and you know what that means? All. Y'all are quick, aren't you? You like my deep theology, right? All means all and everything. In fact, one of his servants showed up one day and he said, my master is very rich. I think that's a pretty good blessing. And he talked about he was blessed with his health. Well, I mean, when you're having, can I go there? When you're having babies at 120-something years of age. Okay, we'll keep going. All right? So I believe in the covenant. The book of Psalms, 105th chapter, says that God, excuse me, God remembers his covenant for 1,000 generations. Now, that's a whole lot of time that God says, I'm going to remember covenant. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob leaves. He's fleeing for his life. And the Bible says all that he has is a staff and his coat. He has this vision of angels ascending and descending. Remember that? He woke up that morning and he said, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. And if you keep reading there, he made a covenant with God. He said, God, if you'll bless me, I'll give you a tenth. I'll give you a tithe of everything I got. You begin to read his life over the next several years, and you find out that when he comes back home, when he comes back to meet his brother, that he has been so blessed that he has to split up his whole family and bring them in two separate camps because there is so much stuff that he has been blessed with. God is a covenant-keeping God. Remember, this series is about from burden to blessing. I want to get you to the place that you believe God is on your side, that you believe that he wants to bless you, that he's not trying to get something from you, he's trying to get everything to you. Amen? And so we need to understand it. Number five is this. The fifth reason is because it keeps my priorities right. It keeps them in line. All right? Now, I want to tell you what. Does anybody besides me have trouble with their priorities sometimes? I mean, you know how quickly I can lose my priorities is when you get in the left lane and won't get out of my way. I don't know what the deal is around here. I don't know where you missed that on the test. Left lane pass, move. Don't left lane stay in my way. Right? And I mean, I lose every bit of whatever I've got at that moment. Come on, get out of my way. What is wrong with you? Get out of my way. I have to bring my priorities back in line, especially when I look up and it's somebody from the church that I'm honking at. I was with one of the staff members the other day, and I honked at somebody, and they said, you can't be doing that, Pastor. I said, you want to bet? All right? So it helps us keep our priorities in line. The book of Matthew says it this way. Matthew 6:33 is a very familiar scripture. It says, but seek first his what? Kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things, all this stuff will be given to you as well. And if you back up in those verses before that, you find that the stuff that he's talking about is your house, your clothing, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. All of these things, God says, if you'll seek him first. And I want to tell you, when you take your finances and you make that a first priority in your life and say, God, I'm going to bless your kingdom first before I do anything else, all of a sudden, guess what? You have just established the kingdom of God as your priority. Number six is this, is because I want to be faithful in the least things. I want to be faithful in the least. Let me read a scripture to you and I'll explain it to you. The book of Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 10 and 11 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Okay? And whoever is dishonest with a little, guess what? They're going to be dishonest with much. Now watch what he says. So you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. Who will trust you with true riches? God says that worldly wealth, money, is the least. It's the smallest of things that God wants to give into your life. But he says you've got to be faithful in that. You've got to use that the way God wants you to use it. Isn't it interesting? And I'm gonna talk to you a minute, okay? Isn't it interesting that we have come to the place that everybody feels entitled? Well, I didn't get a lot of amens, but I'm still right. Everybody, let me prove it to you. We think about this for a minute, and I don't want to mess us up too bad, but think about this for a moment. People get married, and they're you know, 23, 25, whatever their age is, they get married, and they want to start out living in the same neighborhood mom and daddy living in. Well, I can't live over here. Well, wait a minute. Let me help you. Mom and dad didn't start living there. Mom and dad lived in a busted up old trailer somewhere, probably, or lived in an apartment you wouldn't be caught in and had to work their way up. But we say, well, I should have this. I should have the best. No. You've got to learn to be faithful in the little things. I'm really doing better preaching than you're amening right now. Come on, we've got to learn to be faithful. That's why they tell us that lottery winners, that the majority of them are broke in 5 years after winning multi-millions of dollars. Why? Because they weren't faithful in the little things, and all of a sudden you pour millions into their life, they don't know what to do with it, and they run through that just as quick as they ran through the little bit they had. Listen, if we don't, we talked about this last week, you need to have a thing called a budget. Amen. Only the government can spend more than it takes in. All right, they just keep pushing it down to your great-great-great-great-grandkids somewhere, but somebody's going to pay someday. But in your life, they're not going to give you that long. They're going to come after you. They're going to take everything you've got because we haven't learned how to be faithful in the least. So I challenge you today, learn to be faithful in the least so that God can make you ruler over much. Now, let me explain this to us, and I want us to understand this corporately today, okay? All of us together, I want us to understand. How many times have you heard people say, money is evil, right? Everybody talks about money's evil. The Bible says money's evil. No, it doesn't. Money is neutral. Pastor, I've heard all my life, money's evil. That's what the Bible says. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. The love of money. See, there's nothing wrong in money. You know what they tell us about the money that's in your pocket right now, in your billfold right now? They tell us that when a $20 bill has been in circulation somewhere between 3 to 6 months, that it has cocaine residue on it. Y'all ought to get rid of that filthy stuff. Right? Come on. That money has been used for all kind of stuff, but watch this. You can bring that same money and you can buy somebody clothes. You can help somebody pay their light bill. You can find a homeless person and buy them a meal. You can do something good with that same money that somebody has used for evil. It's not the money that's the problem. It is ourselves that's the problem. See, all that money is, listen, let me say this to you. All that money is an amplifier. Money just helps you to proclaim. It's kind of like Facebook. Have you ever, I don't do Facebook, by the way, so you can all relax. I haven't been reading your posts. But have you ever read stuff? I hear enough about it. Have you ever read stuff on Facebook? Go, I can't believe that person. They always seem so nice and kind and whatever. No. They just now got anonymous. They're sitting behind a computer screen. And now you're really getting to see the magnification. That's what money does. Money just magnifies who we really are. And so I've got to learn to be faithful in the least so that God can make me ruler over much. Number seven is this, is because I have seen it work. The reason that I tithe is because I have seen it work. I can remember in the first church that I served in years ago as a young guy out of college, I can remember serving, and I was the junior guy on staff, and so every Monday I helped the secretary with a deposit, okay? And so we would do the deposit, and I could remember with like clockwork, I began to notice that there was this check from this guy, and it was a smaller church. We had about 200 people. It wasn't very large, so you kind of knew everybody, but every 2 weeks there was this check, and I never saw this guy at church. I never saw him. And so one day I asked the church secretary, I said, who is this guy? And she said, well, I don't really know him. His sister goes to church here. And so I said, well, who's his sister? And she told me. And so a few weeks later, I had the good fortune of being able to talk to this lady. And I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, your brother, I said, does he ever go to church here? She said, I don't think he's ever been here. I said, does he go to church anywhere? She said, no. I said, what does he do? She said, well, he owns car lots. He owns several car lots. I said, okay. I said, can I ask you another question? She said, sure. I said, why does he tithe? He doesn't go to church. He doesn't come here. Why does he tithe? She said, my brother said that he has been so blessed because he is a tither that even though he's not really living for God the way that he ought to, he's going to continue to tithe. And as long as I was in there, I was there for 3.5 years, every 2 weeks, there was a check that just rolled in. And this guy wasn't, you wouldn't call him a good church-going guy because he didn't, but he said, I got this. I figured it out. I remember when Sherry and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I remember when Sherry and I had first gotten married, and Sherry had an old Grand Torino. Y'all remember those four-door boats that were called Grand Torinos, all right? And she had one that was powder blue. I still remember it to this day. And Sherry's from Illinois, and so the roads up there, they like to put salt on the roads. And so she was driving it one day to work, I guess at A&P probably, and all of a sudden, the whole muffler system fell out. I mean, just boom, there it was. It was over. So we take it to Midas Muffler in Jackson, Mississippi. That's where I was in college. And we take it in, and we don't have any money. I mean, we're broke college kids. And so we bring it in, and the guy, and I still remember, I don't remember the exact number, but I'm going to get it within $2 or $3. He said it's about $240-something dollars. We didn't have $240-something. In fact, I'm not even sure we had $2.40. I said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, can you hang on to it? Let's see. Literally left there, went to school the next day, opened my mailbox, and in there's this envelope. And I'm thinking, what's this about? There's a letter in there. I open the envelope. I look inside. There's a check in there. I was a lot more excited than you are right now. That check, and I don't remember the exact, but it was within just a couple of dollars of what we needed to take care of that issue. Now, I haven't always seen it happen that way, but I have seen God do that time and time and time again. I was in a service the other day. I was speaking at one of our campuses, and I felt to take an offering for a certain individual in the church. It wasn't for any staff member. I just said, let's take an offering for so-and-so. I feel like we want to bless them tonight, and we did that, and I'm talking to some people after church, and I have somebody walk up to me and just rudely interrupts. You know how that is. You're talking to somebody, and somebody just butts in. Y'all ever had that? And you just want to go, would you go away? But I'm the pastor, so I can't do that, okay? And I said, can I help you? And he said, I need to talk to you. I said, can you wait a minute? He said, no, I need to talk to you now. And I thought, okay, all right? And so I stepped to the side, and he said, let me tell you what just happened. I said, what? He said, tonight when we did the offering, he said, I only had $5 left for the rest of the week. Now, this is on a Wednesday. He said, I had $5 left for the rest of the week. And he said, but I really sensed that I was supposed to give that $5. And he said, I gave it. It's one of those going forth in tears, sowing in tears kind of. Y'all never done that? I'm going to tell you, you've never given until you cried over it. I go, oh, Jesus, really? Okay? Especially, you know, you know, in those mission services, you get moved, you go, oh, Lord, okay. Well, I don't know what I'm going to eat on. Anyway, some of y'all don't have any fun in your life. And he said, so I gave it. And he said, as I'm walking out to leave, he said, this person calls me over. He said, I don't even know him. He said, they called me over and said, the Lord told me to give you something. And he said, Pastor, and he showed me. He said, they gave me a $50 bill. Now, that's a pretty good return. I'm not saying God, I'm not the guy who preaches you, if you give a dollar, God is going to give you 100. I don't believe that mess. But what I do believe is that the Word of God says that if we give, it'll be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God give into our lives. Listen, the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, says this. We're going to get you into the blessing, okay? This is where I've been wanting to go. The scripture says, in verse 7 and 8, but since you excel, the Apostle Paul says, since you excel in everything, he said, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in your love that we have kindled. Watch what he says. He says, I want you also to excel in this grace of giving, all right? This grace of giving. What's he saying? He said to us, look, the law is external. The law was written on tablets. He said, but now there's an internal law that God's written on our hearts. The law came through Moses externally, but grace comes through Jesus Christ. And so our giving is not out of some legalistic Old Testament ritual that we're doing. Our giving comes out of the grace. The scripture talks about it's by grace that we're saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anybody should boast. And so we're not working for it, but here's what I want to tell you. James says your faith without works is dead, right? And so we need to come to that place where we learn how to receive the blessing of God. And that's what I want to share with you in the next few minutes. Let me give you three things real quick. Number one is this. If you want to receive the blessings of God, give yourself, give myself to God. You know, we sing that song about I give myself away. Well, that's what you got to do. You got to give yourself to God. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, is a favorite portion of mine. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, everything about you, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, the New International Version says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is get. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Read the Word. What does the Word of God say? Then you will be able to test, he said, and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And let me quickly say, God does not have three wills. Those are all words to describe one will of God. And he says, when you do this, that's what I'm going to do. Number two is this. If I want to get blessing into my life, I need to know what God says about money. What does the Word of God say? Over 800 scriptures. You saw that in our roll-in this morning. Over 800 scriptures where God talks about money. So what does God say about money? Well, let me give you one scripture that I think can help us today. Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you will be despise the other. In other words, you can't be torn between two lovers. Just seeing how many of you grew up in my time frame of the world, all right? And it goes on to say you can't serve both God and money. King James says mammon, but mammon was the god of money. You can't serve God and money. Now, how do I know who I'm serving? Let me give you a quick test. You ready? Who do you put first? Do you put your bills first, or do you put God first? It really is that simple. I'm not trying to mess you up too bad. I know who I'm serving by what I do with my first fruits, the first part, the tenth. What do I do? And thirdly, is I need to learn to sow into the kingdom. The book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 21st verse says, for where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. Right? Oh, I love the kingdom of God. Well, the Bible says your treasure will prove it. Your finances will prove it. Your checkbook will prove it. Your credit card account will prove it. Your debit will prove it. I mean, it's going to be proven some way, somehow, if we really love God. Many of us know who Jim Elliot was. In fact, there was a movie made not long ago about him, became a national bestseller, and people watched it. Jim Elliot was a missionary who many years ago gave his life to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made a statement that has lived long since he gave his life up for the kingdom of God that I want to close with today. And I want you to listen carefully to what he said. Here's what he said. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Can I say that again? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're Bill Gates or you're the brokest guy in the nation, when you die, you leave it all. You take none of it with you. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Every time you give, every time you're a blessing, every time you see someone in need, every time you bless somebody, every time you help someone, every time you give into the kingdom of God, you are giving into an account that you can't lose. And God marks it down. In fact, he said, even if you give to the poor, I'm taking notice of it. And he says, if you give to the poor, I'll give it back to you. He said, whatever you do. And so as we release, as we're willing to say, Lord, I don't want to live. Here's what I found. I don't want to live like this. I want to live like this. I want to live with open hands. God, if I can be a blessing, if I can help someone, if I can do good, don't let me hold things to myself. Because, God, you didn't hold things to yourself. You loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into this world, not to condemn us, but to forgive us. Jesus Christ came, ladies and gentlemen, so you and I could be saved. He gave his best. He gave his all. Jesus hung on a cross so you and I could know him. And the greatest thing that will ever happen in your world is the moment that you declare your allegiance to God Almighty and say, take all of me. Take everything I am, everything I hope to be, and use me for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen.